I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon again, everybody. This is The Memo. Welcome to our show. It is Thursday, April 21st. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke.
I thought you weren't coming back. I tried to replace you.
Like taxes and cockroaches, I always show up.
We'll get Emma Kenton here in a little bit. She'll maybe let her take over.
I don't know why y'all are so hateful. That's what
I'm not hateful. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's kind of hateful.
We had Leslie in here yesterday.
You're more bitter than this grapefruit juice.
Well, like I posted on my Facebook today.
I don't like grapefruit juice. I don't know why I'm drinking it. What did you post on it? I'm sorry. I only get to watch during the hours when we're not in here. I just go to your social media and just watch for you to post things.
So what
did I miss?
Oh, nothing special. I just posted a picture of my coffee and said, I like my coffee dark and bitter, just like my heart.
Well, that is accurate.
So, anyway.
Well, I'm sorry you don't want me here, but I'm here. Contractually, you have to...
Okay, I guess I'll play nice for now.
Get along with me.
Yeah. Well, we've been pretending to get along for months now.
We can act nice in here, and then we just don't speak. When Chris hits stop, we just don't have to talk to each other. Much like a TV show that's into its ninth season, the actors just refuse to speak to each other on set.
I bet they do. If you got a good gig like Grey's Anatomy, for instance... That's like in its, what, 10th season?
Or no, that's 12th? Like in its 13th or
whatever.
Something.
I mean, it's good that you got a steady paying gig, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, but like at some point, I think you'd want to like move on.
Most of them have.
True. Most of them been killed.
That happened too. I think there's only.
It's not a show I watch, but my
Let's
wife and
Let's not kill
daughter
me off the
watched.
Podcast. Is that what you were getting at?
We could write that into the.
It's not thing. Even sweeps.
True. Well, I mean.
Save it for sweeps.
Yeah, well, anyway, like if we're doing this podcast 13 years from now, I don't know, that would be...
I hope to be doing nothing with you 13 years from now.
Yeah.
Well. Brad, you're 72. Let's face it, I don't know if you're going to make it another 13
Hold up.
Years. I mean, let's hope.
Not that old. 13 fine. Years, I'll be 53. I'll be too old to podcast, right?
What's that podcast? Get off my lawn.
This is the Curmudgeon Podcast.
Dang kids with their MTV.
Maybe MTV won't be around in 13 years. That would be nice. I don't know why it's still on the air.
You're going to be like John Pitts.
Every time my daughter turns it on, it's one of those stupid teen mom shows. I'm like, where's the entertainment value? I don't get it.
Where's the M?
Like, literally, you're following around boring people with babies.
Why don't we do music videos anymore?
Yeah, well, I mean...
VH1 was always superior.
I didn't have cable growing up, so I didn't get to see a lot of that.
My apologies.
And so by the time I got cable, MTV didn't have videos.
My apologies to John Pitts. I think you missed that reference a minute ago.
Which one?
I said you were going to grow up to be like John Pitts.
Oh, yeah, I totally missed that. Well, if I could grow up to be like John Pitts, I could do worse.
This is true. You could grow up to be like Chris Kiefer.
Ooh.
What? Four o'clock meetings are worth going to just for John Pitts and his commentary. You just have to be there, yeah.
Don't you get surly with me,
I'm
Brad?
I'm feeling great. I've been in a good mood all week.
Really?
Well, so I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Obviously.
Oh, geez, shooter.
Waiting to come back down.
I was really worried there for a second.
I guess the meds are working. I don't know.
The coffee is taking hold.
I wish that was a joke.
What?
I just said 100th episode.
Hey. Still coming off that high?
Still coming off the high of the 100th episode.
Yeah. This or the shaving, maybe. Maybe it was shaving. The mustache was bringing you down.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you're more surly without that.
Maybe so. Could be what it is.
Leslie said he was...
Smarmy.
Smarmy? Yeah. Smarmy is a good adjective.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
For what you are.
I could still be smarmy, though, if you like.
Please don't.
And surly.
Just tell the nice people what day it is and what we have coming up today.
As you mentioned, it's Thursday, so we'll have Emma Kent. We mentioned she's coming on to talk about dual credit courses at Tupelo High. We've got Scott Morris reviewing The Jungle Book.
Ah.
Yeah, which you've seen. I
did
not
see The Jungle Book.
Okay, looking forward to what y'all have to say about that. And Bobby Harrison talking about drinking, basically.
I'm sorry, what?
Drinking.
Outside.
The bill that allows basically will allow I guess entertainment districts to be set up where people can take their alcohol outdoors.
Well, what's drinking?
Drinking.
I don't know what that is.
Have you ever been drunk?
We'll tell you off air. We'll tell you off air.
It's oh, like, drinking?
It's like
drink, oh, I'm sorry.
It's drinking. Like drinking, but in copious amounts.
I speak correctly, so I wasn't sure what you meant there. I don't know what that is.
You're from Mississippi, too.
No, I tried not
drinking.
We've drinking got a language here. Snob over here.
We'll get you some beet bread.
Beet bread. Lauren brought beet bread, which
that
I've never
really
heard of.
That is really difficult to say.
It Lauren is beet bread.
Lauren brought
beet bread. She didn't buy beet bread. She
made.
She made it, baked. So she brought it.
She baked beet bread and brought it.
Baked beet bread and brought beet bread. Not bought, brought. Brought.
Yeah, because they don't make beet bread.
No, I don't think anybody does. I think she invented a thing, and she put cream cheese in it. So it was like, it did, we all agreed it looked like a big meatloaf.
It did look like meatloaf.
It was red, mostly, and it had cream filling. And it was weird tasting, not like in a bad way. It's not my favorite thing, but, you know, points for originality. I mean, she went and, like, pulled some beets out of the ground, and what she did is she,
Well, she cleaned them, I believe.
Well, yeah, but how did she cook them? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. I haven't gotten this explanation.
Sure, she cut them up.
Bring her on.
I don't remember if she just boiled them or what happened. But anyway, it was...
I believe she did boil the beets, yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you...
And then baked them.
Yeah.
Okay. For bread.
I don't know how to... I've never had beets
beautifully.
Before. Yeah, it was nice. Look, it was a nice looking loaf. Yeah, so I've... Yeah,
so did you turn red?
No,
beet red.
But she posted a picture after she was done with them. Her hands were just completely red.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Joe Rutherford went for a few pieces.
Yeah, Joe liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Savory.
Mm.
So beet bread. That's a maybe.
I had a piece.
Yeah.
And that was all the pieces I had.
Yeah. Well.
Hey. I split a piece with Leslie Chris.
Lauren makes like last week. You know, for the cast party, she made this amazing caramel cake.
Caramel. No.
I say caramel. Whatever. Either way. So, and what I'm saying is
call the whole thing off.
Not everything's a home run, but, you know, A for effort on the beet bread.
I don't do caramel. Caramel.
Love it.
Caramel. You say Caribbean or Caribbean?
I don't know. I don't really say it much at all. Probably Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Either way. Tomato, tomato. Your watch is dinging over there.
Yes, it is.
Is it time for an appointment?
It is. It's time to start the show.
Oh, okay.
It's time to light the lights.
Welcome in.
It's time to get things started on the Memo Show tonight.
All right. Well, then let's get it started. By the way, today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check them out there on North Gloucester. Hey, let's go down to Jackson now and welcome in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how's it going?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. I want to talk with you about...
drinking.
Wait, drinking? What'd you say?
Drinking.
No, probably, as you noted before, we came on the air, the most important bill of this legislative session, honestly. it's called the... it's been termed the To-Go Cup Bill, and what it would do is allow Tupelo and some other cities, mainly on the coast, to establish entertainment districts so that people can basically just take their alcohol outside and, like, for instance, take it from one restaurant to the next if it's within that district. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, or even like a partition off a section of downtown or the Park District or another place in Tupelo for an outdoor festival. It has to be approved by the city council or the board of aldermen in the city, and it has to also in conjunction with the state regulatory body, and if those two groups agree to it, then the entertainment, I think it's called Leisure and Entertainment District, can be set up. I guess it'd be set up for just like a weekend, or it could be set up for just year-round type thing at some point in time. And it's you called it the Go Cup Bill, and it's funny, the sponsors of the legislation did not like that title, but it kind of caught on as the session progressed, and it was literally the last bill dealt with in this legislative session. It looked like it was going to die at one point, but it was kind of pulled back from the grave by some unusual parliamentary maneuvers to survive and not to be passed. Just this morning, it finally passed, and it's headed to the governor.
Steve Holland, Democrat from Plantersville, he co-sponsored the amendment along with Randy Boyd and Shana Geary, a couple of Republicans, adding Tupelo and some other cities to the bill that originally was just going to accommodate Gulf Coast towns, but now you got Tupelo on there, Corinth, Starkville, Holly Springs. Hey, leave it to alcohol to bring bipartisanship to the process. Which is great.
Yeah, it should be noted that Holland was the most vocal of that group in support of the bill, for whatever that's worth. It just kind of grew as far as number of cities. It started out pretty much the Gulf Coast, and as the bill progressed through the process, more cities were added. I think there's about, not counting the Gulf Coast cities, I think there's about 12 other cities across the state added, as you mentioned, Corinth and Holly Springs and Starkville up in our area, as well as Tupelo. Jackson is the biggest city in the group, and right. That's the reason it almost died, is at the last minute, legislators were trying to add additional cities, and it just kind of got caught up in a time restraint, and that almost led to its death.
Right. Just a little bit on logistics of how this works. I mean, for instance, you know, we used to have the craft beer festival here. You could drink outside, you know, where they had that festival, but that required a permit and everything. So how is this kind of different, I guess, from that?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, there was some question about exactly what additional authority this bill would give, but apparently some people feel that additional authority to the local cities, but this bill would allow, I mean, would mandate that this Tupelo City Council develop a safety plan and put this in their minutes to how this would work, and also get approval from the from the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, the state regulatory body. And they could set up, like, you know, an area around the Coliseum, for instance, for an outdoor festival, or on Main Street for an downtown for an outdoor festival to serve liquor, it could be time limited, or it could be, you know, a certain area of town throughout the entire year. I mean, you know, I don't get to Tupelo anymore as much as I should anymore, but when I lived there, there was, and I think it's still the case, there were some restaurants down in the alley east of the courthouse that this would be sort of perfect for, to use for, you could just kind of in that alley, you know, outside, relaxing on a cool fall or spring day, drinking a beer or whatever. So, I mean, that's kind of the purpose of the bill, as I understand it.
Right. Okay. Now it goes heads to Governor Bryant, and up to him to whether to sign it or veto it. We're in the final week here of the legislative session, Bobby. It's been a long one because of coming off the election year. They add a few weeks to it. What are we looking for the last few days here? Anything big you expect?
Well, this is it. I mean, it's over. This is it ended just moments ago. You know, like I said, the go cup bill was literally the last bill passed this session.
They saved your best for last, Brad.
There we go.
And they put the final touches on the budget. Some pretty big budget cuts, and they also had some pretty massive tax cuts. Now, you know, they would say, you know, they cut the budgets because of sluggish revenue collections. So it kind of seems kind of counterproductive to be cutting taxes at the same time. They counter that the legislative leadership counters that the tax cuts won't go into effect for a couple of years. So the revenue will have time to catch up before the tax cuts go into effect. We just have to see. But the session is over for 2016.
Okay. I thought maybe it would go through Monday. I guess that was an option if they needed it, right?
Right. No, they sine die, as they say, which means sine die is a Latin term for getting out of town, I think. No, actually, it means to leave with no time scheduled to come back in rough translation. So they're gone.
Okay. Well, good deal, and good work, Bobby, down there. And, you know, we've been doing the Capitol View webcast every Monday during this legislative term. We'll have another one this coming Monday. To kind of recap this recent legislative session. You can watch that at djournal.com. Again, Mondays around 2 o'clock. Bobby will have plenty of analysis and whatnot from down there. And if you miss it, watch the replay there at djournal.com. And we might keep the webcast going even after the session is now over. Might still keep it going in the coming weeks. We'll figure something out with that, but always something happening down in Jackson. Bobby, thanks for your time, man.
All right, Brad. I miss not talking to you on Monday afternoon, so yeah, we had to work something out.
There we go. All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
So welcome Emma Kent into the program, education reporter for the Journal. Hey, Emma, how's it going?
Hey, Brad. It's going good.
Great.
Yeah.
Glad to see you co-hosting with me again. No, wait, Derek's actually here. We've been through this.
jokes.
Quiet you. Emma had a story today about college course offerings for high school students at Tupelo High specifically. Basically, I guess also known as dual credit courses.
Dual credit, dual enrollment.
Right.
It's all the same.
Right. And they're expanding their offerings via Delta State University, partnering with them. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what they've been doing, what they're doing now, how they're expanding here.
Well, they've been partnering with ICC, so the kids would take the classes through ICC and earn credits. And they're still keeping those classes. They're not doing away with that at all, but they're just expanding it and also going to be working with Delta State to offer right now two classes, English composition and
algebra,
college algebra. But they might expand that, you know, just kind of based on how it goes with those two. So
and this was kind of adding Delta State and expanding these course offerings, partly due to the fact that I guess ICC has changed its policy. Now you're having to pay more, basically.
Yeah, well, right now, the students who take it, who take those ICC classes, they pay like $50 a class to take it, which is way cheaper than a normal full tuition price, which I think is about $360.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you know, if a kid wants to take... if you take five classes, that's put you at 15 credit hours.
Right.
And so ICC has said, you know, after 15 credit hours, we want you to pay full tuition for these classes. So that kind of limits kids who might want to take more than five dual enrollment classes while they're in high school. So this way they could take them, they could take some through ICC and some through Delta State, and they would still be able to earn more than 15 hours of credit or be able to take more than five. So it just kind of, you know, for those... Yeah. Those students who are super students.
Yeah,
overachievers. Let's them be super. So
yeah, I don't even know if we had dual credit when I was in high school. If they did, I didn't know about it, and I was doing good to pass my high school level classes. for Delta State, through Delta State, students will pay a $25 application fee, and then $60 per class. Correct.
Right. So it's a little more than the ICC classes, but only $10 more. And then the application fee is you do have to be accepted.
Right.
Okay. To do
if
it.
You act now, we'll double your order. That's right.
Free shipping.
And they're looking to have more Tupelo students do this. I mean, they're expecting the number of students to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think right now they have. And this is a really rough number, like 200 or probably a little more than that students who take those dual enrollment classes. But that's been growing, and they think it will keep growing. So they're kind of also preparing for that with doing this new partnership. So
I mean, it's a good program. Our oldest daughter, she went to Tupelo Christian Prep and did dual credit her senior year through Delta State, and I think either ICC or Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
But she's at Northeast now. So when she began college, she was a sophomore.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's a really nice thing to be able to knock out some of those, especially like a college algebra or an English comp. I mean, those are required courses that you could easily knock out in high school and then, you know, get to college and skip to more of your specialized stuff. So.
Right. So, good stuff. Glad to see that happening. And y'all can check out Emma's story in today's journal or at djournal.com. And follow Emma on Twitter at M. Crawford Kent. That's at E.M. Crawford Kent. Emma, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Brad.
It has come time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, you can read your daily journal or visit djournal.com online. Governor Phil Bryant confirmed on Wednesday morning he is making a second round of budget cuts for the current fiscal year. Bryant said the across-the-board cuts will be 0.43% for a total of $25 million. In January, the governor made cuts totaling nearly $40 million. He also used an additional $35 million from the state rainy day fund. Revenue collections are below the estimate by $122 million.
Storm shelter projects at schools across the Tupelo Public School District will move forward. On Wednesday, the school board approved bids for the Joyner and Thomas Street Elementary School projects. The safe rooms will be built to withstand winds up to 250 miles per hour. The school board also approved a preliminary design for a shelter at Tupelo High School that could also be used for indoor athletic events. The board is awaiting funding confirmation on the safe room at Carver Elementary before awarding a bid on that project.
The first bill authored by North Mississippi's freshman congressman has passed the U.S. House of Representatives. U.S. Representative Trent Kelly introduced H.R. 4332 in January. It passed on Tuesday on a voice vote. Kelly said the bill is intended to ensure that small businesses have an opportunity to competitively bid for federal contracts. It would prohibit some regulations by the Small Business Administration. The bill now goes to the U.S. Senate.
Community members will gather on Saturday for a 22-mile hike through Tupelo to call attention to the epidemic of veteran suicide in the United States. The event is headed by Tupelo natives Matthew Foster and Cameron Groves. Foster is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and Groves serves in the Air Force Special Forces. Those who wish to participate should meet at Premier Athletics at 1674 McClure Cove in Tupelo by 7:30 a.m. The hike starts at 8. The event is free. Donations will go toward purchasing a special heavy-duty wheelchair for a local veteran. They can be made through the events page on GoFundMe.com. Enter Tupelo MS into the search bar and select the hashtag 22Kill event.
Gary Crane and his wife Patsy will revive classic television characters and performers in a Saturday night performance. Voices of Yesteryear will be held at 7 p.m. on Saturday at Tupelo High School's Performing Arts Center. It is hosted by the North Lee Civitans to benefit Regional Rehab Center. Crane began performing professionally in 2008. He can mimic Gomer Pyle, Bill Clinton, Mr. Haney from Green Acres, and Walter Brennan. Patsy Crane impersonates Patsy Cline, Connie Francis, and Nancy Sinatra. The two also will sing country western songs. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson will appear as Barney Fife, and the Yes Ma'am group will perform as the Andrews Sisters. To buy the $15 tickets, visit voy.webs.com or call 662-842-1891. Tickets can be purchased at the door.
Need to remind you all of the two sports podcasts we have here at the Daily Journal. You can listen to a new episode of Prep Rally, high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episode dropped on Wednesday. You can listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or stream it at preprally.djournal.com. And coming tomorrow, not today, normally double coverage is on Thursday, but the guys, I have stuff going on. So tomorrow, Friday, a new episode of double coverage, MSU and Ole Miss Sports Talk, with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. Listen to that for free as well on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere.
A lot of things going on.
Went to South again last week. Always an excellent thing going on there. They have brunch on Saturdays. I'm a fan of brunch, Brad.
Especially on Saturdays.
Brad, beat bread.
Beet bread at the brunch for Brad.
They do not have beet bread at the South.
They should have it. They got other good stuff, though.
We actually went to the brunch last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
With Mary Frances performing?
Really good. Yep, she was performing. Good stuff. Music was good. We
took the boys?
I'm trying to think. We took the boys.
Give them some Bloody Marys.
I got some Bloody Marys.
They're kids.
They've got, I'm trying to think of some of the things they had on the menu. I got the... was it Eggs Benedict?
Yeah.
It was really good.
Eggs Benedict Arnold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but they had a lot of good things on the menu. I think they had about, maybe a dozen or so entrees that you could choose from. And I think the hard thing was choosing one of them. They mentioned that Mimosa Bellini bar where they bring you, I think it's a $3 glass of champagne, and there's a whole bunch of juices that you can add to it. But... they also had you mentioned Bloody Marys. There's like a checklist of build your own Bloody Mary, and there's about,
you let the boys 15 make
different,
their own.
15 different garnishes.
Here you go, Daniel. Have fun. Make your own.
I think the South Louisiana in me is a sucker for spicy drinks.
He'll nap good this afternoon, honey. He'll go right down. We do not advocate minors drinking alcohol.
The boys did not consume any alcohol.
Yeah, just make sure. Good.
So the new chef is working out. They got a new chef, Nick Rice, and the food is good, I hear.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
Check them out. Great. South on North Gloucester. Scott Moore is joining us now to talk about The Jungle Book, Disney's remake. Is that the right term? It's not a right correct term, is it?
Kind of a...
interpretation,
update, remake,
live action.
The animation thing was Disney, so I guess this is Disney again. So they're it's Disney Take Two, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's one back in the 90s I never saw. I was reminded of it that the guy Mowgli there was like 30.
I don't think it did very well. Disney seems to be revisiting a lot of the classics lately,
and I can't fault them for this.
Yeah.
I certainly. You kind of wonder how they're going to do it because they can mess things up. And I remember when I was a kid watching, because back in those days, in the ancient days before video, they would re-release the movies every so often. And you go, and so mm-hmm. I saw it at a theater sometime, and I remember being scared. I had to think about fire when I was a kid. I think I had an aunt who died in the fire, and so I think I was was particularly concerned by it. But this movie has its tense moments that if I were a kid, I'd be. But I saw it with a room full of kids, and nobody laughed.
That the same here. We were sold out, and there were kids everywhere, and everybody was fine. And I took my 5-year-old, and she was fine.
They were loud. The kids were loud.
Yes, that tends to happen.
There was crying. Yeah. But I think that's from the babies, not from the older kids.
Don't take a baby
kids.
To a theater. That's just etiquette. Don't do that.
So this isn't really the musical version that we might remember from the animated. Two of the songs make it, Bare Necessities and I Want to Be Like You. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of weird interludes to kind of fit in. But quite frankly, it's... From right off the bat, it's a fantasy story that you're a part of with talking animals. So if the animals can talk, then certainly they can sing every now and then. You know,
we don't know where the music's coming from, but it's fine.
It's magic.
Well, I was saying before we started, Ringo, while it did seem kind of... It was more for nostalgia's sake than anything else, I think, than putting them in there. It did add a bit of levity to the otherwise sometimes intense moments of the film.
Exactly. The film, I mean, there are moments when, you know, I got tense. What's mm-hmm. going to happen? I kind of thought I remember what would happen, but still it's like, ooh, I wonder what happened now. And one thing happened, and I'm not going to tell, but it was a very blunt thing. It's like, oh, wow, they went there, mm-hmm. you know? And so Shere Khan is all menace, and he looks like a tiger. Looks like the kind of tiger you would not want to mess with. And if you were a human being with no fangs or claws, you would not enjoy the idea of having Shere Khan wanting you dead. And that's what happens to Mowgli here. And so throughout the whole story, you know, you have that hanging over him. But then you have these light and wonderful moments when he meets Baloo, played by Bill Murray, and then Ben Kingsley is Bagheera, his panther buddy.
And I think it's hard. I don't know. For me, it's sometimes hard to let things go from the past. I'm identify those characters with those classic people who voice them.
Yeah.
So sometimes when there's updates of things, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. But it was perfectly cast.
Well, I felt so.
I mean, right down to I cannot pronounce Mowgli's name, but that kid's got to win awards.
Neil Sethi, maybe?
I guess. I mean, there's nobody in that movie but him.
I thought he did a fine job. I read some poor reviews of him, and I thought, well, no, he seemed like a young kid on the cusp of learning a lot of things about the world, and he seemed to handle that very well. And he just seemed game for anything, and that was really cool. And... Scarlett Johansson as Ka is kind of, mm-hmm. you know, you think of that the snake as a male character, but mm-hmm. the female character works really well.
That was a very unsettling scene I would not have wanted to see in 3D.
I saw it in 3D, but I'm about to give up on 3D. I mean, one of the commercials before it had a nice effect, but I don't know. Once I start watching it, I sink into it, and the 3D doesn't seem to offer me much more. But the moment, though, of majesty when the elephants first appear. That was something to see.
I imagine that probably looked good in that.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
I can't. And, they don't fit well over my glasses. So I don't know if you have the same problem or not. So I
just
know.
Put them over my glasses and go.
I'm constantly doing this the whole time and pushing them up. So sometimes they get in my way.
There are some moments in here I don't know what to say about. You know, the moment, you know, Christopher Walken plays Louis, King Louis. Mm-hmm. There's a moment before King Louis shows up that I didn't get that somebody else told me about. Yeah.
Good little Christopher Walken Easter egg in the movie.
Yeah, and then there might have been a Timon and, what, Simba? Was that his name?
Pumbaa. Yeah. Might have been a little Timon and Pumbaa reference in there.
Showing up there a little bit. Also, Gary Shandling provides a voice for Icky.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's right here.
I guess that's probably his last role, maybe?
I don't know. You know, like with some people, they end up popping up for years later, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So it's showing at the Cinemark. It's in 3D and in non-3D. And
they call that 2D.
Do they really? Is that what they say? It's not 2D? It's not
regular format.
I think I may have been. Yeah, I may have been completely marketed to now. If it's not 3D, it's non-3D. And you're not getting the full experience.
You're not getting your money's worth. So pay us more.
That's right.
You gave it an A.
I gave it an A. I did. I think one area I thought that there's a chase scene that looked to me like it was where the journal yeah. seemed real. The jungle was very inviting. It's a place I would love to go, even with all the danger. It looked like a very warm, great place to be. But there's one scene, a chase scene, to where I felt like it turned from being like feeling real to feeling like a video game setting. So there are little moments like that. A friend of mine saw it and said it was kind of slow at times, but I think I enjoyed the slow times.
Oh, it offset, like we were saying a minute ago, those intense moments. Yeah. I read something the other day, and I don't know how much of this is true. I'm waiting to see an interview with Jon Favreau, the director, that said 95% of it was all shot in sound studio. Like, they brought in the plants and everything, and the rest of it was just green screen, and that amazes me.
Oh, it would have to be to have that much, yeah. I would say, if you're looking for a good experience for the family, this is it. I mean, I think that grandparents can enjoy this just to see. I mean, Baloo is a bear, and you want to hug him because he's Baloo the bear.
Also because he's Bill Murray.
Also because he's Bill Murray. Who wouldn't want to hug Bill Murray, you know? You might catch something, but still, it'd be worth it, maybe. But he looks like a bear. He looks the kind of bear you should run from. Bagheera, you know he's on Mowgli's side, but you start looking at it, it's like, that's a cat that could mess you up.
Yeah, they look so real. Yeah. I mean, just amazingly real. The realism
is fantastic.
I don't want to say it's a spoiler. That may be my most favorite ending credits to a film ever. The way they designed the
I enjoyed it, but then the novelty wore off.
Oh, did it go quick for you?
Yeah.
I liked that the opening to the cartoon is the way the film, or not opening to a lot of old Disney cartoons, is the way this film ends.
Well, it's the jungle
with the book. Yeah, with the actual book being shown, and I think that was
intelligent. That was. I sat down and watched that for a while, and it's like, okay, that's enough. I'm going.
Now we're leaving. There's no end credits scene.
Yeah, get out of the way, kid.
Nick Furious does not show up at the end of this.
Mowgli, I have an offer for you. I'm still in a team.
Insane.
I need somebody who can speak to animals.
All right, Scott. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Derek, what's going on this weekend? We got the scene section today.
What's going on this weekend? I don't know, sir. Please don't ask me any questions. I was being interrogated. Where were you on the night of June 24th?
You had a lot in the section today. You got the, we got the Fit for the King.
Dancing with the King.
The headline says Fit for the King.
The headline does say Fit for the King.
But it's called Dancing.
It's called Dancing with the King, which is a dancing competition put on from the Tupelo Ballroom Dance Club and the Tupelo Elvis Fan Club working together to put this event on, which is really cool. They have a 50s sock hop on Friday night at the Birthplace. Saturday morning, a couple times on Saturday, actually, Tupelo Elvis historian Roy Turner takes people through a tour of Elvis's Tupelo. And Saturday afternoon, there's an amateur dance competition. And then Saturday night is the professional dance competition. Tickets for that already sold out. Brad, I'm sorry, you won't be able to attend.
Dang, won't be able to participate either.
Can't go dance.
Too late to participate.
Too late to sign up to dance.
That's too bad.
Is this something geared towards tourists when they're given, I guess, Elvis tours? I mean, is this kind of a locals?
Not
or is
necessarily.
It a lot of people coming in.
A lot of people come in for the competition from out. They've got four or five different states. They've got people coming in. They like people to come in for this. It does become kind of a touristy thing, but there's also a lot of people involved. The Tupelo Elvis Fan Club is huge, as well as members of the Tupelo Ballroom Dance Club. So it's both a local and tourist event. So more information on that online, dancingwiththeking.com or tupeloelvisfanclub.com. Saturday night is also the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra, their final show of the season.
Get their funding cut by the state. That's too bad.
Get their funding cut by the state. I'm angry about that.
Yes.
15% of their budget cut.
It's upsetting.
It's a huge chunk. This weekend also, Double Decker in Oxford, Chris's favorite place to be.
Always a good place.
At all times.
Always a good
time. You going?
I don't know. Deanna's more the Double Decker fan.
You're not a Double Decker fan?
So. I haven't been in a while.
It's all right. I liked it when I was in school there.
I don't like people.
So. Yeah, I get
tired of big crowds quickly and walking.
I stay away from people.
It was more fun when I was there and I'd see a lot of people I knew, but, you know, as the years go by, that's less likely, but we'll see.
Also,
she hadn't mentioned it yet.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Deanna. Also, Chris doesn't want to go. Also, Saturday is the second annual County Line Music Festival in Baldwin. That'll be going on in downtown Baldwin in the streets. So check that out this weekend.
Flywheel
as well.
Festival.
Flywheel Houston. Festival going on in Chickasaw County.
Yeah.
So I don't know too much about flywheels, but it's happening.
I haven't been to that festival, but which is kind of odd because my parents lived there for several years. There I just never went, but I'm sure it's a good time.
This weekend is also talking about theater, Absolutely Murder, the 30th anniversary show for Tupelo High School. That is going on. That starts today and tomorrow and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Also had, if you were reading ahead for next week, we had Mary Poppins going on next weekend at Tupelo Community Theater.
Yeah, the headline there threw me off at first.
You want to type all that out?
Yeah, no.
You know how long that took me?
I can only imagine. Supercalifragilisticexpialidupolo Community Theater. You clever dog. And if it's a typo, who's going to know?
I got nothing. That's actually just me slamming my fingers down on the keyboard and somehow it typed that out. As Scott said, if you're looking for a movie for the kids, that Jungle Book is out in theaters. So always something to do in my Tupelo.
Your Bradley. Tupelo?
Speaking of which, my...
It's the proper my. It's everybody's.
I got you. Like the royal
it's the royal my. Yeah, my,
I got you.
Speaking of that word...
Speaking of happy 90th birthday to the Queen.
Speaking of that word, my... daughter Trinity, who really likes bad jokes and dad jokes. I don't know if this is a dad joke, but she told me this one yesterday and had to look it up to make sure I remembered it. About Mahatma Gandhi, said he walked barefoot everywhere to the point his feet became thick and hard. He went on hunger strikes, and even when he was on a hunger strike, he didn't eat much, so he was quite thin and frail. He was a very spiritual person, and because he didn't eat much, he didn't eat much, so because of his peculiar diet, he had bad breath. So he became known as a super calloused, fragile mystic hexed by halitosis. And Trinity just thought that was the funniest thing ever. I was so proud.
That took 2 minutes.
That took way too long. That's a long way around the barn on that one.
That's a long way for a joke.
The punchline is worth it, in my opinion.
You want to know a good joke?
This is the kind of humor my daughter
has. You know a quick one? Giraffe walked into a bar.
Sky walks into a bar and says, ow.
That's it. I can't think of any more to share. A guy walks into a bar, sits down, and starts to order a drink, and hears somebody say, nice tie. He's like, thanks. He thinks he's talking to the bartender, and the bartender says, oh, those are the peanuts. They're complimentary. Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
If they want to.
I do not after that.
You can find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Send us an email with your terrible bar jokes at memo@journalinc.com. Several ways to listen to us on iTunes, your podcast app, or stream it at memo.djournal.com. Tell your friends about it, okay? We're here 3 days a week.
Hold them hostage.
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes. Force them to listen to us. Till they beg for mercy.
Review us. Give us 5 stars on iTunes.
Please, give us 5 stars. Even if you don't believe that we're that good, just do it anyway for our sake. We got families to feed.
Please stroke Brad's ego more.
My very, very fragile ego, yes.
He is. His fragile male ego is in check. So.
Yes. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Please follow me.
For his ego. How many followers do you have, Brad?
How many do I have?
I think you know the answer to that.
It's around 6,600. I dropped several. I had like 70 or 80 people unfollow me a few weeks ago
what'd you do?
Dak Prescott, you know, got the DUI.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to comment on it.
Oh, that's never good.
And a lot of MEC fans still follow me from when I covered State, and I think a lot of them still think I cover State, even though that's been like 2.5 years. I don't, but I just made a comment about the, I mean, I wasn't like disparaging Dak Prescott. I forget exactly what I said.
What'd you say? I think
I was saying something to the effect of people were defending, I said you shouldn't defend his behavior, even though he's a great guy, and he is. he messed up, and people, you know, fans in the, you know, you if it happened to an Ole Miss player
on sacred ground, Brad.
If it happened to a player from the rival team, then they're all over that guy. He's a terrible person. It happens to your guy, you kind of you try to downplay it. That's what fans do. So I basically kind of called some people out on that, and so yeah, now I'm down to 6,565. I think at my peak I was over 8,000 when I was covering State. I don't know why people follow me now.
His ego has been hurt by his decline in followers, so help him get back to 8,000.
Yes, help me get back to
the push. That's what the next 100 episodes is about, folks, the push to 8,000.
I don't know why a lot of people still even follow me, Brad. To be honest.
Honestly, I don't know either, Brad.
But anyway, you're on Twitter, at W. Derek Russell.
That I am. I don't have 6,500
people. Can all be me, Derek.
I had a bunch when I was running for city council, and then they all went away.
No, that's too bad. Chris is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer.
F. Second,
second F
silent.
Is now silent. You should switch that up on us. Okay.
Switch it up.
Making sure.
Keep it real.
Word. You never know. Yeah. He's elusive. He's over here. He sometimes is over here. Sometimes he's right here. Back on Monday?
Yes, back on Monday. Both of us, I guess.
Yes.
I'll be here. Anyway.
I'll be here.
Okay.
Challenge.
Cool.
Accepted.
All right.
See you.
See you then. Have a good weekend.
You too. Oh, them.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to them. Yeah. I don't care what you do this weekend.
You guys have a good weekend too.
You have a good weekend too, buddy.
You too, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Fake it.
I'll drop it in somewhere.
Somewhere before all the banter at the end.
What was it?
That's fine. Okay, I'll do it. I mean, you could just drop it in right before the outro. If you want. Ready? Hey, once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salads, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25 at South.